Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for all the words we received already. We ask, oh Lord, as we receive a very brief release word this morning, that you will help us to be everything you want us to be. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. This has been a very, very serious downpour of God's help and mercy upon our lives. And this morning, just a little addition to all that we have received so far, we shall read the Bible in the book of Luke chapter 3 from verse 1 all the way to verse 6. He said, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother being tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made. Wait a minute. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. Then all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus. Now we shall look at Matthew, the Matthew rendering of the same, chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him all Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I'm looking at territorial dominion, part 2, and this is looking at the ministry of John the Baptist. Territorial dominion, the ministry of John the Baptist. Very, very briefly, our objective this morning will be to understand the forces of revival. Here we see John the Baptist. A man who did not disciple individuals, but practically discipled cities. When John the Baptist ministered, the Bible did not say, then people came to him from Jerusalem. Then they came from Judea. Then they came from round about Jordan. No. Jerusalem came possessing. Then came Jerusalem. Then came all Judea. It is like saying, pastor from Russia. Then came Moscow. Then came Virginia. Then came Lahore. Then came Karachi in Pakistan. Then came Douala. Then came Lagos. Then came Accra. You can call your own. Then came Nairobi. Then came Togo. Yaounde. Take your seat. That's right. What is it that... So, you see, from the kind of things we have seen in the Bible should make some of us to cool down. Let's calm down a bit. Take your seat. The ministry of John the Baptist was not growing with people. It was growing with cities. Cities growth. Jerusalem, Judea, all round about Jordan. In this life, this ministry of John the Baptist, there were people who were there. Annas and Caiaphas were the priests. They were there. High priests. But this young man sparked a revolution that the territory could not claim ignorance of. Very quickly, we are going to be looking at certain things to avoid if we will see revival. And we'll look at the things to embrace if we will see the move of God. Now, where I'm going to start with is the Luke chapter 3 verse 1. He said, Pontius Pilate, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate was governor. Okay, Tiberius Caesar was reigning. Pontius Pilate was the governor. Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee. His brother Philip was the tetrarch of Iturea, of the region of Trachonitis. Licinia was the tetrarch of Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. Why were they being classified along with politicians? Why did they put them in the same roll call with natural earthly leaders? What kind of significance is that for a spiritual man to be comfortable to be lined up with political men? The first thing I'm going to say this morning is, if we must see revival, we must pursue spiritual impact and influence beyond earthly significance. We must pursue spiritual impact and influence above earthly significance. I was invited to the White House. It's not an achievement. Where there is no impact on the earth. I am the counselor of the governor. It's not an achievement. except that counsel translated into impact on a nation. There are some pastors and ministers, their greatest company is politicians. Their realm of operation are societal people that may be called stars. That is their class. Societal people that could be called celebrities. Influencers. That is where they are at home. There are pastors who struggle to know the governor, struggle to know the political leader, and their greatest achievement is that they are hanging around the palace. Some have left the ministry of ministering to a generation to become somebody's private prophet. A rich man's private prophet. A big man's private prophet. A political leader's private prophet. One day, they came to tell me of a young man, very, very prophetic and very, very impactful. And they were telling us about the kind of people that he was, that were patronizing him. Yes. Killers. People we know in society to be almost devils. They went there for prophecy. They went there to be spoken to. Not that the people changed. So I began to wonder, sir. What is it that makes such people not to come to where we are? Seeking for prayer or seeking for direction. Why do they go there and still remain who they are? The Lord said to me, this is light and darkness. The man is the same with them. I am saying this because many people have lost ministry, lost relevance. Because of seeking validation from earthly people, political people, celebrity people. For somebody, an unbeliever celebrity, standing on the altar, holding the mic on the church altar, probably is gay. Probably is a weed man. Standing on the altar, holding the mic, is a validation for their church. We see this kind of error happen in America, even in Nigeria and several places. Well known, some of them have almost sank some ministries now by identification with so-called celebrity, quote and unquote, who don't know God. I don't know why a man of God will consider it a promotion to stand side by side with an unbeliever celebrity. I don't know how a servant of God will consider it a validation to stand. There were some who were busy interviewing unbeliever celebrities on their programs, on their ministry programs. Oh, see that, so tell us this and that. So tell us, how did you succeed? How did you make it? To achieve a status. To achieve a celebrity. Any day, any time, the prophet is superior to the president. Yes, any day, any time, the genuine prophet, the genuine priest of God is superior to the president. There are some prophets, if you tell them to become the president of their country, it's a demotion. Some of us. It's a total demotion. It's not pride. It's a matter of office. And the knowledge of who we are. When Pharaoh came before Jacob. Jacob knew he was higher than Pharaoh. He blessed Pharaoh. Kneel down, let me pray for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Classify. There are those who attend. So, they invited me for a birthday party of a major politician. Not birthday party, sorry. They invited me for the wedding of the son of an archbishop who I know. But they are marrying into like a big political family. And they wanted me to be there. And I respect the man. He's a very humble man. So my wife and I visited the wedding occasion. Sat there. Just pray and bless the children. And then the reception of it was going to hold. And I knew that the reception would be jammed with different political figures and all manner of people and jamboree. And once this wedding service is over, I told them I'll be going. And one of the people said, well, are you coming for the reception? I said, no. Because there is a climate that we may not be able to fit into. It's a matter of climate. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. This is the Reverend or Pastor so-and-so. This is unbeliever rapper so-and-so. This is next sitting to him is That is how people reduce their lives. There was a trend that came up in America some time back where everybody, pastors began to call themselves CEO. Papa Oyedepo said, they're talking, he said, CEO. Is that a title that a pastor will acquire? Suddenly everybody began, oh, I'm CEO of so and so, this and that. CEO of, I'm the senior pastor of this, but the CEO of this and that. Where people began to envy the status of business people, of political people. What office is superior to the priest of a church? The senior pastor of a ministry? The president of a corporation? And those kind of settings began to crash one by one. No, don't misunderstand me. It's possible to be a businessman and be in ministry. But if your core calling is as a pastor, remain on your lane. Remain on your path. Let businessmen come to you for counsel. Lay hands on them. We have billionaires we talk to, instruct and direct. We have political leaders we talk to, we instruct, we direct. We went to a state for crusade. The governor of the state was not in town. And the deputy governor of that state said that he is available in case we need to see him. I told our crusade man, I said, go tell him that we didn't come to see him. We came to see the people. We came to minister. You were there. We came to minister to the people. Because I was thinking in my mind, you are deputy governor of a state. We have had presidents sit in meetings, sit in crusades. And you cannot come. Not a matter of come and pray for us. Or please come and pray at the government, help us pray on the ground. That is different. Come help us pray at the government office or the government ground and let God help us. It's a different matter. If it was a request for come help us, come pray for us, it's a different matter. But here is now, come and see me. I'm not looking for anything from you. I didn't come here for you. That was the answer. And I didn't go. We went to another state. And they said that the state will want us to come, whatever. I said they should come for the program first. When they attended the program, came to see us, then we went to their office at the government house to pray for them. There are many people who have lost dignity in ministry because they don't know the honor of the calling. The anointing is a crown, and it's a higher crown. The anointing is a crown, And it was that not in Leviticus 21 and in verse 12, where he said, the crown of the anointing oil of his God is on his head. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. The anointing upon the head of a man is a crown, and it's a higher crown than political crown. It's a higher crown than business crown. Don't consider it as an achievement. Your spiritual impact and influence is superior. Papa Oyedepo had the visit of an African president, came to visit him. Came to visit Kenan Land, and he was moving around. And he said, good morning, sir. I just came here to the Kenan Land to just see the place. I didn't want to bother you since I am not on appointment. That was the president talking to a real priest. I didn't want to bother you since I'm not on appointment.
And came and left.
A nation's first lady came to see us here. We prayed for her, talked to her. She was in the service. Nobody in the church knew, except those who received her. She said, I didn't come yet to be introduced. I just came to attend service. I don't want my name mentioned. I want us to start now. To begin to allocate the honor, the dignity, the focus, the purpose, the passion that ministry requires and demand. Is God speaking to anybody here? Your spiritual impact and influence is higher than any significance you want to seek from among men. Let it be clear to you that is that passion, that passion, that passion, that passion to pursue the spiritual that will make us to command the territory. That passion to pursue the spiritual will make us command our territories. And I see somebody stepping into territorial control. You believe that? Say a loud amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. For years, the second point that I saw, for years, I read that place and I thought that it was normal. That was verse 2 of Matthew chapter 3. Sorry, Luke chapter 3. I want to say first, before I read that, that God, now that's point number two to note, God will never move in a climate of disorder and conflict. He will never move. Where a man's life or ministry is in disorder, I'm talking of spiritual order, God can never move. Verse 2 of Luke chapter 2 says, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, and the Holy Ghost said to me, just pulled me back, because at times you want to read and go fast. Say, the high priests. How many high priests exist in the Old Testament per time? Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. No. It's like saying the popes. No. High priest, the high priest is one per time consecrated in Israel. One per time. Only one high priest. When God spoke to Moses, he asked that he should consecrate a Aaron as the high priest, the high priest. And then his sons will be priests. If you look at Leviticus chapter 21 and in verse 10, we see anytime you see high priest, it is the high priest, the high priest. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, that is consecrated to put the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. He that is the high priest, he that is the high priest, he that is the high priest. In Judges chapter 18 verse 25, I saw that the children, all right, just look at Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Meir. They sanctified unto the tower of Hanamel. Chai, Annas, and Caiaphas. How did you become the high priests? Anywhere there is conflict and contention, God never moves. Don't expect territorial domination. If you seek to contend with anybody, we live in a generation today where ministry is filled with contention and competition. Who is bigger than who? Who is bigger than who? Who is bigger than who? Who is doing more than who? Young people who should be learning from fathers are contending with them. People who should be fathers to you. One young man said to me one day, what does Bishop Oyedepo want again? Useless mentality. What does he want? Okay, he has done more than everybody now. Won't he relax now? He was angry. Bishop Oyedepo was born again in 1969. This boy wasn't born yet. For him, ministry is contest and competition and conflict. Pastors in the same town can't talk to each other. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Somebody who is in front of you, you look at him with pride. What do you think you achieve that I can't achieve? So there is a lot of tiny, tiny, tiny operations everywhere. Tiny operations. That was what killed the move of God in the Azusa Street in the healing revival. People were trying to measure their tent. One of them went to Orarobo's tent, measured it, and decided to make his own 50 meters more than Orarobo's. Yes, he measured it physically. And he built his own a little bit bigger, so that it can be said that he has the highest revival tent. That one died very young. Died very, very young. With very, very powerful mantle. Somebody told me of a pastor in a particular town. That pastor used to be in this town. I don't know, I think he's still there. He will go with his assistant secretly into inside services and be looking, and he will tell his assistant, "I think our church is bigger than this one. I think ours is bigger than, what do you think? They have gallery too, but our gallery is bigger." Destroying the assistant pastor. Destroy the man who should be learning from him. I think that guy is still around, but voiceless. I know of a young man. Every time he comes and sits in a church, he'll be looking around like this. Not looking to learn. No. Is there anything here we don't have? How is this church? How big is it? We are not going anywhere like that. I like you to calm down. Do the work of ministry with sincerity of heart. Do the work of ministry with sincerity of purpose. Serve God. He said, the grace of our Lord be multiplied for those who serve God with sincerity. Find that passage for me. Grace be multiplied for those who walk, who do, who serve with sincerity. There is a level of sincerity that multiplies grace. That should be the end of Romans or the end of Corinthians. Look at it for me. Grace and peace be unto all those. Serve God with sincerity. You are not in competition with me. I am not in competition with you. We don't have the same combination of graces, so that nobody kills himself. What I'm wearing, I didn't buy it. This, I didn't buy it. This, I didn't buy it. It's a long time that I bought many things. So that you don't break your neck trying to say, anything you get, I want to get. Anything you have, I want to have. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't struggle. And I don't ask people for things. Will never ask. One woman was going to America. I said, I'm going, what do you want me to buy for you? I said, I don't think I have any need for you to buy anything for me. Say, you are sure? Is there anything you need? I say, I'm not currently conscious of anything. This is 20 something years ago, not today. Not to say that it's because you became big. 20 something years ago. Church was still a few years in area one. That woman is still in this church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Annas and Caiaphas, high priests. Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. Not in crookedness. Not in contention. Not in competition. In sincerity. Hallelujah. Somebody say a louder amen. If people contend with you, face your life. If they try to compete with you, just face your front. If they try to drag you to their level with, I am this, I am that, what do you think you are? Just face your life. Just keep on moving and face your life. I became very, very concerned, so I decided to check. Who among these two was the actual high priest? So I realized that when Jesus was being crucified, the Bible said they delivered him to the high priest, and the high priest was the one who delivered him to the Sanhedrin for crucifixion. So I looked and I saw in Matthew 26 verse 57, and they mentioned the name of the high priest. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. Not the high priest, the high priest. Where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So Caiaphas was the high priest. Annas, what is your challenge? If Caiaphas is the high priest, what are you struggling? Okay, who is Caiaphas? And now look and saw in John chapter 18, verse 13 to verse 14. John 18, 13 to verse 14. And they led him away to Annas first. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. Father-in-law, which was the high priest that same year. This is father-in-law interference in ministry. is someone here whose father-in-law is dictating ministry for them. Maybe there is someone here whose mother-in-law is the one running the ministry. Maybe there is someone here whose wife is the spare pastor, is the one who is running. I have seen people with such conflict. A man that I know, his wife taught the ministry because she considered herself a co-high priest. Even a higher priest than a man. She quarreled until she decided to leave the church. And then started the church and carried some people. Those in the church who were loyal to her. I don't undermine the place of a wife or family support in ministry. Moses had his Aaron and his family who supported and were around him. But none of them interfered with his life, with his ministry, with his assignment. My wife has not one day suggested to me, this is the theme for the year. Amen. This is what to preach this month.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is it dream? Or somebody came and said and shared with me her life or his life's problem. And then she said, so what did the person say? Is that a dream? It's not possible. It can't happen. It can't happen. Someone said, I came to discuss with daddy so and so. I hope he has informed you. He said, did you tell him to inform me? If you didn't tell him to inform me, he will never. Love is intact. Relationship is intact. These are the disorders. Spiritual disorders. Spiritual disorders. That affect the move of God. The Bible said, we have not sought God after the due order. In the days of the priest, they didn't seek God after the due order. So there was a breach on Uzzah. Somebody died when order wasn't followed. I may stop here and continue in the evening. And then we'll pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Father-in-law. If they first, when they wanted to crucify Jesus Christ, they took him to Annas first. In your role as what? The high priest is the only one to lay the hand on the ram of sacrifice, on the scapegoat. It is the high priest that is to lay that hand and lead the scapegoat to the wilderness for sacrifice, or to lead it away, and then the ram of for sacrifice. The high priest, not father-in-law first, and then the high priest.
Can you imagine?
If not for the mercy of God, is that not a breach of divine order? The same way Moses breached when he says, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. And he struck the rock twice. And the rock that followed them was Christ. And Christ was not meant to be crucified twice. He said, You smote the rock at first. The next time you don't smite it again, you speak to the rock. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. Beloved brothers, just when you live here, bury your life in the assignment. Get inspiration from people as much as you can, but let it never become competition. Be motivated from as many as you can, but never engage in competition. There are so many people who are competing with those who should be motivating them, competing with those who should be sharpening them. Iron sharpeneth iron. They are in competition with the one who should be sharpening them. So their lives are reduced and stunted. Jesus said, I weep over Jerusalem. I wanted to help you, but you couldn't see. There are many people in our generation today that could be helped. There are so many people that we know at various levels of life that could have been helped. But some are looking afar. Some are so envious and so bitter, so jealous, so aggrieved. Why should he be the one? Why is it not us? Why am I not the one at that place? And the Bible said, no one taketh this honor upon himself, except he that is called. No matter how hard you struggle, a grace that has not been given you, you can't have it. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Bury yourself in the assignment. They may look for your trouble in con. People may even come to you. Do you know that so-and-so person is doing so-and-so thing or is bigger than you now? There are people who will talk to you like that. Sent by the devil. Sent by the devil to provoke, aggravate, irritate you. But say, like Elijah, I know it. Hold your peace. Face your front. The Bible said, having done all to stand, stand. All that is needed of you is to do all that you are meant to do. All that you know to do. All that under God you are capable of doing. Get it done and remain on your feet. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, father-in-law, is now high priest together on the same platform with son-in-law. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest. You don't have any competitor. You don't have any. What's happening these days? Somebody prints the handbill, and I'll come to that in the evening. He prints the handbill of a program. Somebody else copies the same handbill, the same title. God didn't talk to you. And we are crying that we haven't seen the move of God. Now let me go to the point number three. I'll end there, and then we'll get it. We'll go forward. And then the Bible says, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of the Lord came unto John the Zacharias in the wilderness. And that is where I will stop today. Thirdly, God will cause the move of the Spirit to happen wherever he finds the right vessel. Wherever he finds the right vessel, the move of the Spirit will happen. Annas and Caiaphas, go ahead with your disorder. Go ahead with your competition mentality. Go ahead. I will bypass you and go and meet a man in the wilderness. What makes a ministry is not the temple. Because the priests were inside the temple. What makes the ministry is not the temple. What makes the ministry is not instrument. Papa Yedebo said when he started ministry, he had no instrument. He had no instrument. And the people say, can we get instrument? He said, I'll use mouthophone. Mouth. He said, I'll continue preaching when you cannot hear me anymore. You yourself will put your head together and go and bring the equipment. What makes the ministry? Yes, he said to them, he said, God said I should preach the word of faith, not music of faith. What makes the ministry? Where God finds the right vessel. If you go to Evangelist Sunday Okucha in Okpo, where he just finished Calabas this month, people from all over the world went there to a wilderness, if you will. What makes a ministry is the right vessel. And hear me today. In this season, God will bypass many Annas and bypass many Caiaphas in the regular temples, in the well-known temples, in the recognized temples, in places that have everything that looks like structure and earthly order. Music is intact, it's neat. You don't hear an echo in the hall. Sound is clean. Choir is sharp. Dressing is solid. You have world-class level of welcome at the gate. Everything is top-notch except the presence of God. Except the move of the Spirit. Everything is as good as temple will be. God went to a structureless place. How many seats do you have in the wilderness? Where is the cover? Where is the canopy in the wilderness? Where is the podium? Stand up on your feet, people. In this season, God is bypassing many Annas, many Caiaphases in the regular temples and locating men and women who are not looking for position, who are not in competition with anybody, who are not in struggle with anybody, who are not struggling for title, who are not struggling for applause from politicians, who are not struggling for recognition. They are there. They are there, right? What matters to them is God. He bypassed many. Smith Wigglesworth said, God will bypass 1,000 men to anoint one man who believes in him. He will bypass 1,000. He will bypass 1,000. That was what God did for Elijah. There were many priests in Israel, many prophets. Obadiah hid 100 prophets. And then there were 7,000 who didn't bow the knee. But none prophesied, none manifested, none achieved anything in the days of Elijah. Every man tool in that generation landed on one man's head. It landed on one man's head. So he moved in and out of the spirit. He went as at will. He disappeared and reappeared at will. When it was time to go to heaven, he entered the chariot and took off. He disappointed death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that is the judgment. He disappointed it. He broke the rules. And you know that Elijah was the Old Testament of John the Baptist. The spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist. Am I communicating? I don't know what you are looking for in this life. I don't know what you are looking for. Catherine Kuhlman said, anything you need in God is possible. But it depends on what you want out of life. What are you looking for in life? What do you want out of this life? A name, applause, title, fame, status symbol, celebrity status, or real ministry impact, or real cutting edge generational transformation. It depends on what you want. It depends on what you want. And for as long as you live, refuse to have a competitor. One man of God, he goes on evangelistic field. And he does evangelism. I'm sorry to say, but he has the gift of talkativeness. Very, very loquacious. Talks 1,000 times per minute. Send me pictures. Say, I'm in South America now. I'm in so and so city. And so they say, since for the last 500 years, nothing like this has ever happened. He was telling all manner of braggadocious things. So I replied him with one word. I said, you have successfully done what nobody else in this world has done before, isn't it? Congratulations. So I asked him, I said, so now who takes the glory for all the things you are saying? You see, I'm so sorry. About in the 80s, somebody told him to glorify God more. I said, yes. I said, you better do it. I said, I avoided your ways because you talk too much. I told him, You know, I don't hide my own. I told you. I said I avoid you talk too much. You amplify things too much. I have never given a crusade count before. If you say, what, how many people are in Pakistan? I don't know. How many people are in Jalingo? I don't know. Did I count them? A big man of God followed me to go in Benue State for our December crusade. Big man, elderly man in this country. So by the time he saw the crowd, the two fields filled and every people everywhere, he said, there must be a million people here. I said, I don't know, sir. He repeated again. He said, there should be up to 1 million people here. I said, I'm not sure, sir. He said, there should be at least 1 million. I said, sir, I cannot tell at all. He didn't count the people. People were sitting on trees. People were on the roadside. They were everywhere. I don't know the count. This was one of the things that killed the revival in the healing revival. Exaggeration and evangelistic talk. Can we make God bigger than He is? Not evangelistic, evangelistic. People were 50, you say there are hundreds of people. The people they call millions, if they count them one by one, you'll be shocked at the number. They posted a pastor who was a pastor in the ministry. I won't mention the ministry. And he was giving the count of 11,000 people on Sunday service until they sent in another pastor. And when the pastor came, he realized that there were just about 3,000 people in that location. So they said, what happened? Because they now counted the chairs in the place and it was 1,500 and they ran 3 services. So highest, if all the chairs were filled, that was 4,005. And he was giving administrative report to headquarters, 11,000. So what really happened? Angels may have been counted alongside. Let's calm down. Let's calm down. Let's leave the Lord to do His work. Let Him walk. Let Him walk and let Him take the glory for His walk. Am I communicating at all? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have attention to details. If you need to and you have to do the count, do the count. And if you have to announce it, you do, but announce the exact count. The correct, accurate report. And if it is not announceable, keep it to yourself. Somebody say amen. Don't ever forget this. What we seek is impact and influence that is heavenly, not earthly significance and rubbing shoulders with political people and political figures. It doesn't constitute an achievement. It doesn't constitute an achievement. And don't be in any climate of disorder or contention like Annas and Caiaphas. And just understand that if God finds the right person, the move of God will happen with sincerity of heart, sincerity of purpose. Lift up your hands and sing, Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary. Shut up. Give me a mic. Give me a mic. True, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary. Sing the tremolo. Sing, Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare
a sanctuary
to be a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy. Tried and true.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a
prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
To be
a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy. Tried and
Mashada Galagaya Galagaya.
I'll be a sanctuary
for you. Send it two more times, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a
living sanctuary.
Sing it one more time, Lord, prepare me.
Lord,